Good evening. Welcome to Smooth Drama. This is a recorded interview of King Noir and Jet Setting Jasmine of Royal Fetish Productions. Enjoy.
Okay. So, wow, welcome to Smooth Drama. How do y'all feel about traveling and doing what you do?
I love it. I mean, it's great to be able to see different parts of the world and do what we love at the same time. It's always great when your travel is paid for.
So. Yeah. That is true. I love traveling, and there's a certain part of hotel life that is home to me, if that makes sense. Like, I first started kind of getting kicked out of my house at like 15, 16 years old, and I used to hustle to be able to stay in motels and shit. So, like, you know, there's like a comfort of being on the road for me, because like from that I graduated to doing music and touring for music. So that part is cool, and it's even better now because we get to do it with the family.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna ask.
So it's
how
like,
you, like
it's
how
like
you
double
with your children,
double
so.
The comfort yeah. now, you know.
Yeah, it's with the kids. It's got its own challenges, like mm-hmm. all the stuff that you have to lug with, and mm-hmm. you know the
giant ass car seat.
Yeah, the money that we would bring home, we are spending it eating out and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I've been realizing, especially in the last year, is that we're getting to know our kids in a very different way. Because we don't have the same routine. Mm-hmm. So being on an airplane with someone for 3 hours, mm-hmm. there's a lot of talking that mm-hmm. happens, you know, mm-hmm. or having a full day. We're not competing with friends. We're not competing with school. We're not, you know, it's just us.
Yeah, and like we're going to go out and have a good time. Mm-hmm. Or some of the challenges that you get, like, hey, this hotel don't have the things that we need. We got to find the next one. So mm-hmm. you get that real world problem solving
teamwork.
Out the way, teamwork and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or we got to figure out what's food or,
right.
you know, all that kind of stuff. You get to see a little bit of what your kids are going to be like when they're on their own and they're faced with challenges out in the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Royal Fetish, where did the mindset for that come from?
Go ahead,
you
answer that.
I think Royal Fetish really started initially when we were doing our fantasy flight parties all over the country, touring like we touring now, but we were doing parties like bachelorette parties and birthdays and things like that. And a lot of the parties that we were doing was, you know, demographically speaking, like black women between 25 and 45, and they would always ask, yo, why is black porn so bad? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it either shot extremely low budget or doesn't show the full array of our sexualities or fetishes, or why don't people just show up with lotion? Like, why?
Yeah, the lighting is off.
Right.
Or, yeah, like on all these different levels. Yeah. And then, you know.
You done seen some ashy porn before, have you? Yeah. But,
you know. Well, never thought about it, but yeah, you're right.
You see that 70s, 80s, and the concepts and yeah. how you're portrayed. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah.
Woo. That's exactly
yeah, and it's
right.
it's like the so much of porn, even to this day, is based in racial and ethnic stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And so people would ask us, and at the time I hadn't been making films, but when I was younger I had been in some stuff, and they were like, well, why don't y'all do it? Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought of no better name for it than it's like we're bringing out the regalness of our people in a sexual way. Like, it's okay, you know, like when you decolonize all of it, like we don't have the same, if you go back far enough, we ain't have the hang-ups
right.
that, you know, so Europeans put on us, yeah. you know what I'm saying?
So that takes me to another question. So as black entrepreneurs mm-hmm. in a mostly white European concept, you feel like they try to marginalize you or try to angle you a certain way that you're not comfortable with?
We won't let them. Yeah. we're fortunate enough to have started our own production company so that we don't have to be relegated to their standards. And we definitely work with other companies like we did today. And if it doesn't, if it seems like it's going to pigeonhole us into that stereotype, or they're not going to make certain considerations, or they want us to shoot with someone who doesn't respect us, then we won't do it. And we are in a position that we can say no. We are in a position that we can blast those companies and really make space for other performers who may not have the same resources that we do to, you know, like to kind of push these companies to work ethically so that those of us who don't have their own production company can have safe spaces to work. So we're doing a lot of challenging of the industry. We're touring the world with the adult industry for people of color. And we're really talking to consumers so that they understand what they're buying. And when they're watching something, why it's unethical and why they're not supporting us culturally with their dollars if they're supporting companies that perpetuate those stereotypes. And the more we can educate consumers, their dollar and their opinion is what drives, you know, these companies to make the things that they do. So, you know, I know we're a pebble in a really big sea, but we're making waves.
And I think also, like, and this is kind of going back to what I was saying in the last show, like, if you look at art from Africa that predates Europeans, there was no shame in the body.
None.
There was... Actually, it was crazy. When I was in Curacao, I got to go to this this museum that was dedicated to basically the diaspora. And they had all of these, literally just had straight up dick statues. Like, they were like the world's first dildos type shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was just straight up carvings of penises, right?
And then
you see, like, other ones that were dedicated to, why can't I think of the word right now? But it was like for mothers to give birth, and they would be like
fertility.
That's the word I was looking for. So like fertility carvings that were like the womb, and then they would have other ones that were just straight up like, this is a vagina and it's a beautiful work of art. You know what I'm saying? So I think like there's unfortunately for us, there's like so many layers of shit that's on top of us, always trying to marginalize us, always trying to tell us that we can't do anything. And really, I mean, truth be told, like, there is nothing in this country that is not gonna try and marginalize black folk, because all they know how to do here is
marginalize
us, brutalize us, and try to make money off of us, you know? So I think that, you know, in any industry is gonna happen, but in this one, it's like, You get a whole lot of layers of, like, not just the everyday racism, but that sexualized violence and that sexualized, like, white folk thinking they own black bodies just comes out, like, daily. Like, almost every day you just gotta kind of like, man, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, we not gonna do that. Right. You know, we gonna do us. And we just keep pushing that way.
Well, I think that's the important part of having your own,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a publisher myself, you know,
mm-hmm.
you see it, because
mm-hmm.
it's like, there's us, and then there's 100 of them,
mm-hmm.
and they see you, that you can thrive, and but they still want to try to push you over that edge,
mm-hmm.
and so... I commend you, because there are a lot of people who complain about it,
mm-hmm.
instead of, hey, don't complain, start your own,
mm-hmm.
which Worse. Is what you do.
And I appreciate that it's very classy. Very classy. Because I've been following you both for maybe about a year on Instagram, so yeah, and I've noticed that, you know, each video or each activity or where you go when you go on your tours or mm-hmm. pop-ups have been really nice and classy. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I think that aspect of it is important too, not just in the sense of, I mean, obviously the overall umbrella of blackness, but then also respect. You know, in the porn industry, no matter what the person's color is, you know, there's this particular perception that if a woman has sex with people and it's on film or this, that, and the other, like, then somehow she's lesser, you know? Like, yes. I'll have the same dudes hit me up like, yo, your job is ill. Like, yo, that's dope what you do. But then we'll turn around and look at my coworker and call her all kinds of names mm-hmm. that she shouldn't be called,
right.
you know? So it's like, also the, I hope what we're doing also is kind of like shifting that paradigm as well to say, like, sexuality is a thing that all human beings, regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexuality, should be able to enjoy, and it shouldn't take away from how people respect or treat you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just another expression of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, because I've always wondered if, you know, who are all these guys having sex with? So it's like, if you're, you know, so where is the woman? You know, where would mm-hmm. the woman be in that? Like, who is she? And, you know, and like I've said, like, you guys show it in a manner to where, you know, it's very respectful, very tasteful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so now, in watching the videos, reading the comments from people, does that worship, adoration, does it make you uncomfortable sometimes?
Yes.
Does it fuel you to higher levels?
Both. It's weird. It is. Oh, I always try to put myself in like, okay, well, who do you love so much? Like, who do you adore? You know, and you know, and I think of people that I look up to that I would want them to know, like, your work is making a difference, or whatever you set out to do, like, you're doing it. Like, thanks, mm-hmm. girl. You know, and so I, to be able to receive those comments and for them to propel me to do other things and not just feel like kind of like a like sometimes it feels like pressure, like, oh gosh, you know, am I doing enough? Like, what do I have to do next to live up to this or whatever? And then I try to, what does it feel like, you know? And usually if it's like, let's say my favorite music artist or something like that, I don't feel like, oh, she better do something different. She better do something. I just feel like, thank you so much for this piece of art. I just want you to know that I really like it. Keep doing what you're doing, you know? So.
I agree. I think sometimes it can feel like you in a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but other times, so there's like the extremes. Like, there's one extreme of people who will send you all their dick pussy pics that you ain't asked for, and you'd be like, yo, why the fuck am I doing this?
Send me flowers.
just say what's up. Like,
cards, you know,
like or people who come off as like, all right, they might be a problem, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one extreme. And then, but then you get messages from people that are like, you know, I've been looking for somebody like me in this sexual arena, whether it be from the porn side of things or what we talk about with porn and parenting, or like whether it's performance or the social aspect of what we do. And it's like, I've been looking for someone who speaks like me or thinks like me or looks like me or just doesn't make us look bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And like those kind of messages is like, they fuel me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say, the balance part.
Well, you guys cover mm-hmm. the gamut to me of it all, because I can't even remember how I found, because I initially found King's page. And so I was like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, okay. I can kind of, because, you know, like for porn for me, I'm into like very mild, it's, you know, okay. quiet, there's mm-hmm. nothing, you know, mm-hmm. kind of out there. But I was like, I can kind of get.
I can get with
what he's doing. I'm not into the, you know, the whole myself. But right. I was like, you know, he's not, it's not uncomfortable to watch
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
at all. I don't feel like less than or shameful. You know, right. it's very natural. You guys come mm-hmm. across very natural with what you do. So, right. it's kinda, you know.
So what's the wildest thing you've seen done? It just like, you're like, oh my goodness, no.
Like that I've actually participated in, or the wildest
either,
thing that I just
either.
Came across in life and I was just like, holy shit.
Either, whichever is the wildest.
I have mine.
Man, I met people who actually really, really voted for Donald Trump and like wear Trump hats and shit like that. Like, that shit is wild to me. I can't believe that those people
on
exist.
On set?
No, in life in general.
You fucked the Trumper? Shut the recording down.
No, I gotta think on that for a second.
Yeah, you think on that. You think, let's come with a better one. Let you go.
Okay. two things that I two things that I have experienced on set that I never in my life thought, like, I was like, my life has come to this? Wow. And that was sounding.
Oh, my God.
Sticking medical rods into the co-star's penis. That was, yeah, I see you, Fred.
Yeah.
I was the cameraman for that one.
Yeah,
and
we had
I
to do that together.
I had the same thought.
Wow. You know, it was a learning experience for me, and it wasn't something I came up with, so this was for his pleasure, something that he experienced before.
His pleasure?
Oh, yeah. And he taught me, you know, and it became my pleasure, too, because I was, you know, someone to trust you with their body in that way. So I learned something new there. I took that and I did it again on another set. So I'm like, wow, like that was crazy that there's more than one person that enjoys this. Wow. And then in that scene, the second thing that I put my entire foot in someone's asshole. Yeah. And I never thought that I would do that or thought that it was really possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that wouldn't even ever be. You know how some things you just never think of?
No.
It's just not even a thought.
And I've said, I'll kick your ass so many times in my life.
Yeah, put my foot up your ass.
Yeah, you know, I've said that so many times. I actually did it. And it was so warm, and it was so inviting, and it was really wonderful.
It was warm and inviting.
It was. It was.
I got to ask. So, medical, I'm just trying to I don't want to get a visual, but I want to get a visual.
So, yeah, let's do the visual. So, this is a knife. So this is like it was surgical steel, but smaller than this, like a kind of like a pencil. It was the size.
It was
of a
pretty.
Pencil.
They were perfectly round.
Perfect
cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then right in his urethra, just slowly dropping it in and pulling it out, and you could feel the rod from the outside of the skin going all the way down. It was just fascinating.
From what he explained to me, and this isn't my bag, but I could understand somebody who might like it, right? He said that the sensation that you get of relief when you urinate, or the sensation that you get when you have to urinate and you're kind of like holding it in, he said it's like, it's kind of like that, but more full, because it's an actual metal instead of a liquid.
So it's true sensation play.
Yeah, it's and like then, a real a sensation. I don't.
Okay. Then I started playing the triangle on vibration.
I don't know how he was able to take, because one of the ones that you used was pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he was able to take that.
A pencil is pretty thick.
Yeah, and he worked up.
He had to go step to step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
So, yeah, that's definitely one of the wildest things.
So are there any, like what you said, do you ever worry, like, about, like infections or, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we in that particular set and the one after it with the same things, that it's all clean fluid, surgical cleansers. I wore gloves.
Okay.
Yeah, and the lube was a medical grade lube.
Okay.
So, you know,
this
could have given him a sonogram.
I was
going
to say.
I could have. You know, and the thing that's really was really cool is this was his idea. Mm-hmm. You know, like he came, it's something that he's done before, and I took the time to learn and make sure that I was doing it properly to make sure that he didn't, you know, get hurt. It wasn't just like, oh, let me jam this.
Yeah,
it could
really be dangerous.
Yeah. Disastrous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, definitely. It's funny because you see, like, humiliation and, you know, porn and different things where people are hurt.
Right.
So then, and that's what I was kind of like, well,
yeah,
was that his... You know, was that what he was trying to do? But you said no, it was more of
the
a
sensation,
pleasure,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily a pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, thinking on that same kind of vibe, like I would say, the craziest shoot that I've been involved in involved a bed of nails and what was that? A bear trap. A bear trap. a performer that we know named Subby Cupcake. She really is like a stunt woman of porn. Mm-hmm. She really likes to push a lot of physical boundaries, and she has a super high threshold for pain. So we were going to shoot together, and she was just like, I really want to use this bed of nails, which already is like next level.
Yeah.
So like she, yeah. Which to watch her like relax her body and lay down on it, this is a real bed of nails. Like if you just went like that, you could probably, one of them would probably pierce through your skin. But she has to do weight distribution and has to lay on them in such a particular way. And it, for me, it was a turn on to watch her patience with her own body. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we set up the nails on a trampoline bed. So I was above her holding on to these rails and stepping on certain places on her body. Now it had to be specific places, because if I stepped on the wrong spot, then it would puncture through her body. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like just putting a certain amount of pressure on certain parts of her body. And then so that part was already like next level. Wild. But then she was like, so I have these bear traps, and I really would think it'd be cool if while you're flogging me and caning me, you just attach these bear traps to my arm. I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey. I ain't ever come across no bear trap.
Exactly.
So I was like
movies, right?
Yeah, right.
So she had to explain to me how to even get it to trigger. So like you open that joint up, blah, and then you have to strike it at the right spot on the inside for it to trigger and slam.
Yeah.
So I had to like slam the right part of her under her arm with the bear trap. So it's like, I've never done that with no bear trap before. Yeah. So I'm all like, the first time I'm like, and she's like, nah, you gotta like go in. Yeah. So then I'm like, bong, like just hit it mad hard, and it just. but she was up there like. Like she liked that shit.
Oh, wow.
You know, like she does some extreme stuff. But yeah. I was just like, same kind of thing as you. I was just kind of like, this is what I'm doing right now. That's what's up. You know, that's what's up.
I'm bear trapping.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, and I think, you know, like I was filming the sounding thing, and it was just, to me, the things, the levels that human beings can push themselves, whether it be for something sexual or not, but like just in our arena, the things that people will test their body's limits out for pleasure and pain is fascinating to me.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking like, imagine if we just had these kind of conversations about our regular sex. Like, okay, let me explain to you exactly how I like to have my pussy eat. Yeah. Right? I want you to, okay, first you have to cleanse your mouth with this medical grade cleanser, you know? Like,
and then grab a bear trap.
Okay, get close. But no, I mean, just really like, that's what I love about kink and fetish, mm-hmm. and these wild experiences, because you have to kind of slow down all the things you're thinking about and tend to this person,
yeah.
and listen to how to do it properly. That's going to give them pleasure and care, you know, like, and care and attention, and like, why can't we use those same techniques? But people go into regular sex like, I know what I'm doing with your body.
That I ain't never...
ever done with your body before. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody is different. So, mm-hmm. yes.
That's a great segue into... What does the World Fetish Workshop look like?
So, our Kinky Pop-Ups, which we are currently on tour, the Poly Suture Tour, they are educational. So there's no play before we all are operating from the same set of rules. We really talk to people about how to have conversation, how to consent to doing kinky things. We do spend a good portion of our time talking about people of color in kink, because we do have to add an extra layer of education and an extra layer of care, because so much is not out there for us in terms of how to work on our bodies or how you take a couple extra steps because we're so used to being marginalized, misrepresented, that running thought in our mind, like, this is bad, us mm-hmm. being kinky, like mm-hmm. how you mentioned, not mm-hmm. feeling good after doing something mm-hmm. or watching something kinky. So we just take a lot of time to care for our audience in that way, to allow them to relax and open up to actually participating. We do demonstrations. We pick whatever city we're in. We'll pick whatever kink is in our bag, really. It might be saran wrap, it might be wax, it may be pervertibles where we're using just common everyday items to show people how they can introduce kink into their life.
I've been looking at that ore on the wall right there. Yeah. Like, I want that.
Well, we can use it tomorrow and bring it back. But whatever we demonstrate usually will allow people to, if they wanted to take it home tonight, they would know that they know how to use it safely. So whether it's a candle wax or a saran wrap. And then once we teach, we give people opportunity to participate in the demonstrations with one another, so some partnering. We do a sort of like a live show depending on the audience and how many participants we have. And then we leave some time for free play, questions, and answers.
And that spank line.
And then we do a spank line. So everybody that is there is welcome to join. And Oakland was our largest spank line.
Yeah.
The first time that we were here, it was like over 30-something people just bent over, booties tooted, and we just went to work. Hands, floggers, paddles, dragon tails. And I think of all of it, it's just awesome for people to meet kinksters in their community. It's like we come to People City, they come out the woodwork, and then they get to meet and mingle, and we leave, and then they keep doing that shit while we're gone.
Yeah, I saw that your San Francisco show is sold out.
It is.
Well, that's not a surprise, though. Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if Oakland did, though. Just because
our VIP did sell out.
It did. Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. That's mm-hmm. great. Because we're mm-hmm. a little bit more, I won't say conservative, but I don't know if you're familiar with the term on the under about our business.
Oh, and that makes sense.
So it's mm-hmm. kind of like, well, who am I going to see when I get there? Right. I hope I don't see my next door neighbor. Am I going to see my Uncle Joe? You know, right. it's a whole bunch. Uh-huh. We're very private about our,
okay.
our
that makes
relations
sense.
Here. So mm-hmm. it's nice that it did sell out the VIP. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so. And we also are doing, we screen a film. For those that are interested in just coming to watch sex entertainment with one another. So we'll pick a film from our vault and we watch it and then we talk about it. So a screening.
So you feel like you get the respect you deserve in doing as artists? Because, I mean...
I think so.
Yeah.
There's a pigeonhole like, oh, you do porn, so...
There definitely is a pigeonhole with that, but the thing is, end of the day, porn is such a large industry that there aren't very many people who don't watch porn or know porn. So it's more about the people who are actually comfortable and open to say, yeah, I watched that shit. With people like that, we definitely get people who... will be like, yo, that one scene y'all did, the lighting was beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's one of the things that's very important for us is because one of the things that you do see in porn, even when it's if in mainstream porn, they don't always light people of color well.
No.
Mm-hmm. And for us, like, our scenes range from, like, super kinky with bear traps and sounding to something that's just really about, like, the worship of a woman's beauty and kissing
pregnant
and
beauty.
Yeah, you know, like one I think we've gotten respect. We've won 3 awards for scenes like 3 years in a row, and one of those scenes was while we were pregnant, you know, and it was meant to be a beautiful sex scene because a lot of times if you see porn with somebody who's pregnant, they fetishize it in a way that's usually disrespectful to everyone involved.
Watch ours, please. I want to know what you think.
I've never seen
you're like,
pregnant porn.
It's like 2 minutes in, like, all right.
Yeah, like I'm doing something wrong watching this, right? I think you're like the
so
one
that's,
that we did.
That was what Jasmine wanted to accomplish with that was to like say like this is beautiful, and then also at the same time show positions that would be comfortable for women who are pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was on many levels, it was important, and a lot of people have reached out to us about that scene and other scenes that we've done, whether it be from lighting to music in the background, like how we freak what we do, you know. So I think that that's been one of the things that has been really rewarding of it, is for people to see the art of it.
Now, do you guys think you have an advantage because you're a couple? And so, like, you're talking about the pregnancy, but it's your child. So, you know, and it's a different, you know, it's a different vibe, like, watching it. Because I can tell, like, when I've watched with you two, is that there is a connection. As opposed to, you know, it just being, you know, two people that you, actors, right, that are getting paid. So. Right.
So I definitely think, and if you have a good partnership where you work well together, you're always going to have an advantage, whether it's in a personal relationship or just a good working partnership. You always have somebody looking out for, you know, for the business. You always have, one of us is always working, or, you know,
watching to make sure no tags are showing and that we not ashing. You know, right. They all go back to ashing.
I've oiled a lot of butt crack.
Bring that lotion back.
I think there's also an advantage of, even in scenes that we might not be with one another for, you know, like if it's a scene that Jazz has done and I'm editing it or something, I know what she does not want in there, you know, or if Jazz is writing a scene for me and somebody else, she knows what I like to do or what our fans want to see. And so there's so many different ways within this that we work together. But then when we are on camera together, I think the advantage comes in that we're not to say that with other people we're acting, but people see the connection that we've built over almost a decade together. Like, they see us having the fun that we would have whether the camera was on or not. So it's kind of like they get like a extra view into the kind of shit that we into, because it's like we don't just do it to do it, we do it because, like, yeah, exactly.
So talking about liking it, so you do music, you do fitness, you do films. What's your favorite?
So my background is a therapist. I'm also a clinical therapist, and I now have figured out a way. I think this is a hard question because we have figured out a way to fuse all of these things together. I do a lot of work with sex workers and therapy and lay people in therapy and our non-sex workers that come to me because we have been so open about our sex and sexuality and sexual interests that they want to talk to somebody that they can relate to about laying down some of their sexual hang-ups. So it's almost like I have fun doing porn. Like, it's fun. It's creative. It's an outlet that that I get to try really either strange things or really strange to me things, or things that I've always wanted to do in a safe, controlled environment with the person, at least aesthetically, that I want to work with, you know, for the most part. I would never just, like, roll up at a nightclub and be like, so, you know, can I stick this in your ass? You know, like, I just don't, those opportunities don't present themselves as a woman that doesn't go to nightclubs. Not that wouldn't ask, just, like, I don't get to go out much, so porn has opened up an opportunity for me to have a sexual journey that I don't feel like, knowing my personality and my access to certain things, that I wouldn't normally have. But it's also allowed me to expand my role as a therapist. It's allowed me to expand my role as kind of, I feel like, a sister in the community. Like, I can talk about motherhood in a different way. I can talk about all of these different dualities and connect with people that I wouldn't if I was only in one particular lane. So my favorite is the fact that I can mesh all of these things together in any given conversation like we're having right now.
For me, it's like, what you want more, your arms or your legs? I need both them shits.
Yeah.
You know? Music, I've been making music since I was like yay high. You know, it's part of me. It's whether I release music or not, I'm always gonna make music. You know what I mean? I love music. I can't imagine life without it. And then fitness is that's every day. I want to make sure that I'm the healthiest I can be for as many reasons as possible, the main of which being is to take care of my family.
Right.
You know, and then the porn aspect of things, it's another creative outlet. I've, ever since I've had sex, when I first had sex, I was like, yo, this, I love this, you know, and I've looked at it as art since, you know, I enjoy pleasing people. I love to be watched. So like that aspect of porn is like, I can literally just go and say, how many people watched me do this? You know what I mean? And I can actually literally find out.
See it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like a super turn-off for me. And then, just as Jazz said, like, I've been able to infuse all of them, you know, to be able to have scenes that go with my songs and songs that go with my scenes. And then at the same time, you know, to, we were just talking about this, like, there's certain positions and things that I'll do in scenes because I can, because I take the time to work on my body to be able to do that shit. Yes. You know what I mean? And I think that that's, like, I do feel that one day when I am no longer, I want people to be able to look back at my life and be like, he lived his entire life as art. So from bedroom to music to family life to any aspect, it was something that I tried to make beautiful for all that was involved and all those that was watching.
Okay. So where do y'all see yourselves like 5 years now? What's your end game?
It's a trick question because we are where we thought we would be in 10 years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we've
accelerated.
I have stopped putting those kind of thoughts because then you work at things at that speed, you know? And it's like, okay, well, we're not going to do that for 5 years. Like, right now, the way that I look at things is if the opportunity is presenting itself, that means the time is right, you know? And so it is very difficult to say that. All I would like to say is that in 5 years, I hope that our family is still as cohesive as it is, that we are healthier than we are now, and because, you know, black people age backwards. And I hope that our earnings are that much more abundant. So.
What she said.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
So, if people wanted to find you, where could they find you? What, tell us about the Polycentric tour.
Oh yeah. So
run. Well, when is this dropping?
I'm gonna try to drop it tonight.
He said we on Facebook Live right now. Hey, we should have did that.
Okay. So after this, Jazz is gonna be in New York for a few filming. I'm gonna be in LA for a few filming. Then we meet up again in LA. We're off to Chicago. We'll be out in Chicago for Exotica. We'll be in Miami for Exotica. We'll be in Jersey for Exotica. We'll be in DC for Exotica. But for the Poly Sutra tour, for all the kinky pop-ups, we are about to be in Charleston. We're gonna be in North Carolina. Oh shit. And we have this really, really big event happening in Atlanta actually right after we leave here.
February
28th. It's gonna be a play party. This is gonna be one of our first times hosting a play party. Is that, you've been to this spot?
Yes, at Tokyo Valentino in Atlanta. We're doing it with Kinked Up ATL. There will be education. There will be demonstrations, but you can get.
But you can also fuck.
We will be operating from the same rules, but yes. You can get it in.
Yeah, so that's gonna be lit, and then we got.
Yeah.
Like a whole lot of spots coming up. Like we're pretty much this part of the tour doesn't end until June, and then in July it's looking like we're gonna start the international leg of the tour. So trying to get back out there to Kenya, you know.
Yes.
and a couple of other spots.
And you can buy tickets and see all of our locations at jetsettingjasmine.com. And if you can't be on the tour with us for some strange reason, you can check us out at royalfetishxxx.com so you can see what people on the tour will be learning how to
do.
Yeah,
and what will be getting screened and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then you could find at Jet Setting Jasmine on Instagram, at King Noir on Instagram, Twitter,
yeah,
all that good stuff.
And if you're interested in what this looks like from behind the scenes, we have the family-friendly view of what tour life looks like behind the scenes on our Sex Positive Parenting page on Instagram. And you can also see our behind the scenes on our OnlyFans, Jet Set Jasmine.
At King Noir on OnlyFans.
Yeah, all the stuff that would get flagged.
Yeah, the stuff that would make Instagram show up at our crib. And
that's a fucking enough.
Like, hold on.
That's enough.
They put a whole flag in the front lawn.
Yeah. So, yes, again, JetSettingJasmine.com for all the tour dates, tickets, and merchandise and more.
Yeah, you could get the King Noir dildo, you can get floggers, you can get T-shirts, CDs, all that stuff. You can get it. Get it in.
All right, well, I want to thank y'all for taking the time out to let us interview you and meet you. It's been my distinct pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, and that concludes our interview, our epic interview. I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank King Noir and Jet Setting Jasmine of Royal Fetish Films. Before we go, we want to leave you with a song. This is Exhibit, Choke Me, Spank Me, Pull My Hair. Peace.
Choke me, spank me, pull my hair. Choke me, spank me, pull my hair. Choke me, spank me, pull my hair. Choke me, spank me, pull my hair.
Cinnamon with a taste of honey. It ain't funny when she walk in the room. I can't help acting a fool. I know what she like. She act like she ain't gon' survive the night without my dick all up in her ass. So quick, so fast, I see her twin towers and I'm ready to crash. Walk around naked with your beautiful ass. Who the fuck told you how to move that fast? It took time to perfect the stroke by any note. Maybe we really don't need to drink and smoke. And just trying to position perfect your dick. Kiss and bang on your G-spot till your voice is missing. I don't want to love you, I just want to fuck you. You should bring your friends through. I'll fuck you and them too. I don't want to love you, I just want to fuck you. You should bring your friends through. I'll fuck you and them too. For maniac, suck and swallow it down the hatch. It ain't a game when she giving me brains. She doing her thing, I'm up all night, but I never complain. I don't waste no time with pickup lines. I just look in her eyes and read the signs. A lot of dudes wanna pull on her arm, cause her ass and titties light up a room like a major city. Just look how she fit in the jeans. It ain't fair, she get off too quick when I'm pulling her hair. I'm the only nigga that can take it in. I'm the only one fucking and I don't care. She come through with a couple of friends, a couple bottles of gin, and then that's when the party begins. And I'm the only nigga that's around for blocks. Baby, get on top and don't you stop. I don't want to love you, I just want to fuck you. You should bring your friends through. I'll fuck you and them too. I don't want to love you, I just want to fuck you. You should bring your friends through. I'll fuck you and them too. Menage a trois for moi, let's figure this out. I drink a Hennessy fifth and sweat the shit out. She don't got a cheat cause it's a waste of her time. She'll never find another dick that's bigger than mine. Hands and knees side by side, a hip from behind. Flip it up, giving a fuck, and fuck all night. Bottom line, when I straighten the spine, I'm gon' find spots that ain't been hit and blow your mind. Get in line, bitch, and stay on the grind, cause I'm on mines. Redecorate your hips and lips and thighs. Ain't surprised you can be so pretty and be so nasty. Ass in the air like a path to grassy. It's a thin line between hoes and women and clothes. My dick with a hat and change the linen. I don't want to love you, I just want to fuck you. You should bring your friends through. I'll fuck you and them too. I don't want to love you, I just want to fuck you.